Awesome. Thank you so much. It feels like just the other day we had our last staff session, but it was probably a whole month ago. And what a load of fun this morning. It's been absolutely brilliant. And I'm going to share 10 secrets to managing your time. Over the last, I don't know, couple decades, people have come to me and said, "Help me get on top of time. It's just like stressing me out. I'm not able to like get everything done." And I did come up with a set of hacks or secrets, a bit more than 10, but I'm going to be sharing 10 of them today. If you remember the last session, just so you don't get confused, we dealt with best practices for working from home. Okay, so that was how we actually go about getting things done, being productive from home. And there was a whole lot of points for that. I did post after the meeting details. And if you need any more of any of that, please just shout. But today it's about managing your time. Now, obviously, we all get the same amount of time every day, the same number of hours and minutes. So you can't really change the quantity you're given, but you can certainly change, what you do with it. And it's so much is in your hands as to what you get done. You get someone who doesn't get almost anything done in a day, and someone who gets like a million things. And it's not because of the amount of time, but it's generally what they did with their time. And so what we'll do is we'll explore five. We'll go into 5 minutes in breakout rooms. So I'll take about 10 minutes, bore you to tears. And then 5 minutes, you'll have breakout rooms. And then we'll do another five principles, and we'll head back into breakout rooms. And so the first one is going to take me probably an hour and a half to get through. I'm actually going to drop a workbook for you afterwards with this, plus full notes, plus the presentation. So you can chill, sit back, relax if you want. You can make some notes on the side where you want to. But the most important thing is that you balance your whole life. In our small group just now, breakout room, Belinda and I were talking about people who have been great leaders, but their personal life was rubbish, or they were predators, or they had no good relationships with people around them. And it's because they didn't balance and focus on their whole lives. All they did is that they just try to be the best at the work that they've got going. And so I can't obviously take an hour and a half, but I'm going to give you the highlight of how do you actually go about balancing your life. And it's about defining your mission, identifying your roles, creating your goals, and then planning your week. And so treat this as a bit of an overview if you've done coaching with me. Sorry, Tabs, if you're involved in coaching at the moment with me, this is probably maybe what you've worked through, but it's about defining your mission. No one's going to come to you and say, "This is what your mission statement is." You birth that, you download it from what's in you. You don't get it on the internet. And I did come across a really super way of framing it and making it really simple. And so you'll see all this in the workbook I send you after the meeting, where you can just fill it in, print it out, fill it in, or just do it in a notebook. But you write a lifetime noun for yourself. And this is what describes you. It's not your job. It doesn't change. If you change your position, if you go in retirement, you should still be able to do this. I hope to be 95 and still doing this, and which for me is a Christ follower. And so it's bigger than what I do in my workplace. And then we write three verbs of impact. How do we actually want to show up and live that? Then we think about three people groups to impact. In other words, for me, it's family, friends, and I'll show you mine in a moment, and leaders. But yours might look a little bit different to that. And then you describe the result of the impact. And so really, as I think about, I'm a Christ follower who equips friends, family, and leaders to be disciple makers, that kind of puts this parameter around my life. It helps to give me focus. It helps to ensure that I'm not, so it's not I'm a pastor who meets with people in crisis so that they can change their world. That's important, but that's probably one of my roles. And so we sometimes get our goals and our roles and our mission mixed up. So So you would write yourself a mission statement. The next thing is that you say, what are all the roles that I play in my life? Now, roles are the hats that we wear. And I don't know what yours are, but you probably have about 15 or so, 20 roles. So you list them all until every single one is out. You're an auntie, you're an uncle, your sister, brother, pastor. You run a side hustle where you're making a million. Maybe you're an investment broker, whatever, on the side. But then you start to group them into categories, no more than five or six. And then you select those, you know, down into those. What are those core roles that you're going to focus on? And next, so you've got your mission, you've got your roles. Now you say, okay, I'm going to create some goals for each one of these areas. Two or three goals. Everyone knows about SMART goals, specific, measurable. I'm not going to waste time with that now. But what is one or two things that I need to be doing, not activities, but intentions, objectives for each one of my goals so that my mission is lived out through my roles? And I do that by creating goals. So for example, as a Christ follower who equips family, friends, and leaders to be disciple makers, I'm a disciple, so it's my relationship with Christ, and I have two goals, daily devotions, practicing God's presence. As a husband, yep, I'm of the male persuasion, I need to tell myself, love sacrificially, and more important, I've got to tell myself, listen carefully, because we all know, Loreco, if we're honest, that we're a little challenged in this department as the male species. And so knowing that's a goal makes me remember that and makes me build things in to my life to do that. I'm a father, so I have to write down things like my goal is to engage daily or help quickly when my kids are off at the moment actually getting vaccinations. I made sure that I helped with that process for them. I'm a pastor, and I've got two goals at the moment, encouraging people and equipping people. As a coach, I'm helping to develop skills and promoting a class that I teach on that. And as an author, maybe I'm writing a book or I'm managing a list, that type of thing. And so the idea is to find a, if you like, a planner of sorts. And the most simple one will be in your handouts that I share. It's a weekly planner. You have the mission on the left. You then write down those five or six roles that you've come up with. You state those goals. And you get to your week as soon as possible. Obviously, my week's not a blank slate because there are meetings, there's Zoom calls, there's, you know, this sort of thing I have to do, there's meal times, whatever. But I get to it as soon as possible. I then decide what my priorities for the week are. I then actually put aside some tasks for each day. Each day of the week, I say, before I lay me down to sleep that night, this is what I actually absolutely have to get done. And so, for example, that's kind of what it looks like. This was in the middle of last year, in the hectic last year, 2020. And it allows me to not just fill up every spare minute. We need some margin and boundaries and space, but it allows me to see what I have available and whether I'm living and balancing my whole life. Okay, so you'll get that example in the material I send you. So define your mission, identify your roles, create your goals, and plan your week. Right, so that's the first one. You can see why I hinted that we might be along, but that one's huge, and that's going to take you a while to master. But if I'm on my dying, in my deathbed, and if I could share one thing that's really helpful to really be on top of your life, I would say a mission, your roles, your goals, and a weekly planner is the secret. So the rest of these are going to be a lot shorter. Secondly, you need to get organized. If around you is a mess, if it's just chaos everywhere, if you don't have a system, that's a major challenge. And so some sort of a system so that anything you handle is categorized or put somewhere. If a kid asks me for his birth certificate, any of my three kids, I'm not going to scramble around. I'm going to go to the exact place. I have gone digital recently and transferred everything to a digital platform, and that's going to help me. Every photo we've ever had is digital. Not that I can get people to get rid of paper photos in this home, but we're moving in that direction. But if someone asks for something, you're able to go and get a hold of it because you've put it in your system somewhere. And so if you pick up something, you say, what is it? Do I need to act on this? Can I file it? And then every now and then put aside some time, things might pile up. A lot of people have piling systems, not filing systems. And it means you're always looking through stuff. So basically getting organized, knowing where your stuff is, all your stuff, personal stuff, whatever it is, it just makes you that much more efficient. Secret number three, schedule think time in your week. You need to actually sometime put your feet on the desk and look out the window. You need to have some time when you work on your system and not just in your system. You need to make sure that you're just reflecting. I have a Sunday afternoon hour where I just reflect on my week. During the day, sometimes I just say before the day starts, what is the day, what's going on? And so I just kind of think it through. How am I doing? What am I getting right? Am I dropping the ball in one of my roles? Am I achieving my goals or not? It's that type of stuff. And so it's about putting your feet up, thinking, reflecting. Number four, you've heard me say this probably in the last session on working from home, is that we really need to work 2/3 of the day, morning and afternoon, or morning and night, or afternoon and night. And I'm talking about the work side of our life now, so that there's time for family, for friends, for personal hobbies, and for other things, time for your neighbors, for example, because we might define our work so strictly that we don't get to that. And so working 2/3 of the day, paying yourself back. If you work 3/3 in one day, take the morning off. I've had the odd Friday morning where Thursday night has been Leadership 115. And I go out to a nature reserve for 3 hours on Friday morning. I'm not guilty. And if Simon sees me, I'm like, no, it's cool. I'm paying myself back. And I don't think, and I know the exco's with us here, and I don't think any of them want you to become such work machines that you end up actually burning out and being grumpy and upset and useless on the job. And so being really balanced is really, really key. And then lastly, before we go into groups, take time to give time. So I get a phone call yesterday from Sergey, and I took it on my day off, which I don't always do, but certain people, I'll hear. And he's inviting me to teach him time management and apologetics next year in the New Year of Your Life program. And that sounds great. And it's very, very tempting immediately to say, yeah, of course I'll do that. Then he drops the bombshell that it's 5 days or something of a week at like 4 hours every day. So every day from say Monday, Thursday or Friday, I'll be out every morning. And, you know, so my principle saved me. I may do it. I'm not sure. But it's take time to give time. So before you give some of your time to someone, think about, will I be able to cope with that? What meetings will I not have in that whole week? How will I do everything I'm doing now and teach all that and have the prep time? And so if I go back to him and say, sorry, I'm not your guy, I know why I've made that decision. And so take time to give time. So those five principles, Christelle's going to send us into groups now. We're just going to say, hey, how are we doing with those? It's literally just 5 minutes. There's going to be three of you again. She's also going to pop it into Rosebank Rocks so you can have those five in front of you. Just briefly share which of the five secrets you're doing well in and which do you need to improve. Okay. Awesome, guys. I think you're all back. I'm assuming Zoom's dropped us all back. This, consider it a teaser, a time just to briefly think about what are you doing. What are you doing well? What are you not doing that well? I don't think anyone was in your group who didn't say there's an area to improve. If Belinda said she can improve and she's reworking her whole system this week, actually, then I think all of us can set the bar a little bit higher for our lives. So number six, we need to work with checklists. The brain is not good at holding things. The brain is good at being creative about things. You know, I struggle sometimes to recall something, to get it back from the deep recesses of the mind. You need to make sure that the moment you say you're going to do something, that you put that somewhere. And I don't know what that somewhere looks like for you. It may be an app like Nirvana. It might be the reminders app somewhere, but you don't want to go around saying to people, no, I'm sorry, I know there's an event coming up, but I've forgotten to do this, or forgot to buy you coffee, or whatever it was. So ticking things off, and not just because I'm elderly this works, but I've always found that really good systems of action management are absolutely critical. So I don't want to tell you what to use, but shout if you need any more help in that area. Now, this used to be called for me handle paper once, because we get mail in the post. Some of us remember those days. We open it, we look at it, we say, I need to do something with that. We put it in the inbox maybe, and then we get something else, or someone sends us something. That's all electronic. So has more than, I would say, 10 emails, you are in a really bad, bad way. This is a test, but I'm opening my inbox and there's no more than up to 10, and only because I have been all morning online. And so I make sure that I find these times to manage that. Doesn't mean I reply to everything, but I put it into my action folders. Everything I handle, I try only do it once. If I pick up something that I need to pay for a medical bill, I'm going to actually make sure that I'm going to handle it as once if possible. So if it's a bill for someone, if I cannot pay it, it's okay to put it in a place where it pops up again. But don't have all these things that you keep going through and saying, oh, I need to do that, I need to do that, do that. It's just discouraging, and it's soul destroying. So try and handle things once. Number 8, keep information handy. I think I have a bit of a reputation of being a go-to guy, because often I get these random calls out of the blue. Hey, can you give me the details for this? Or can you tell me where this person is, what their number is? And I think it's because maybe in the past I would have access to that. So if you need something, I've got it. So the students we have in 115, 215, I've got all the information handy. Obviously now it's got to be POPIA compliant, but we make sure that information is there when I need it. If someone wants something, if my daughter says, remind me of my ID number, and she's out at the immunization place now, I will go straight to my master document in my note app on my iPhone, and then just put in my passcode or my thumbprint, and there's a category for all of our ID numbers. And so it's that type of idea that I'm going to get information, I'm going to have access to it. Number 9, a little different in this time of some working online and some working in person, but confirm meetings with people before you consider it as done. If you've ever had a meeting with me in a day, you'll know that somewhere along the line, I'll drop your message, all good for 10 a.m. And if I'm leading a group, I'll put that out an hour before something. I did it today for the 115 leadership team for a meeting tomorrow, to give a heads up to everybody who's away this week and who's at the meeting. And I said, we'll see you all there. And I know Tamsin and Fiona gave a thumbs up, and others in absentia because they are away this week. And so that's so critical, because otherwise you're going to show up for something and no one's there. I remember once some pastors from some church in Robin Hills wanted to meet with me, and they booked me to go to a Wimpy down at Broadwater Commons. We're talking 30 years ago, maybe 20 years, and they never pitched. And I think I don't know if they've arrived there yet. I just moved on, and it was a pretty weird, surreal moment. But if you don't check, well, you're going to just be left waiting and you'll waste time. And then lastly, empower people and delegate. Andy Stanley said, only do what only you can do. Only do what only you can do. Now, it might take some time to get to that place. And I know even when online engaging started, I did it. Now, I've struggled to get onto the roster because I've got such amazing engagers. And so hopefully in your work, you're finding others, volunteers, who can run things for you. Don't just dump the horrible stuff. I think I had respect from people that I served with in a war zone, because I was willing to do exactly what they did and more. I didn't tell them to dig the trench so that I could be protected from the mortars that were landing all around us in southern Angola. I actually had that spade in my hand and I dug my own trench. And I think when we empower others, when we teach others with trench digging skills, it will help both of you in the end, because you'll both come through the war unscathed, relatively. And so empower people, delegate and do that well, do that wisely. Obviously, now's not the time to give you a bit more on that, but I'm going to throw us back into those groups and you'll see all those points if you want to remember them. What is one where you fly in and one where you need to improve? Thanks, Christelle. Great. Okay, so before I hand over to Loreco, just want to say there's three bonus secrets in the notes that I'm going to send you that are in there. And if you send me a message saying, oh, please, I hear there's this book that you wrote, I'll send you a complimentary digital copy. Just send me a message. And it's got 7 keys to living a productive life. So back over to you. Thanks so much, Loreco.